Valley Sea today.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and of course all those wonderful nooks and crannies in between across this great nation, very proud nation, a nation that is fed up, and we don't want to take it anymore. So lots of people sounding off, venting their frustrations in all kinds of different ways, whether they're right, wrong, or have the intended target, wrong, because some people believe that Occupy Wall Street is the new Tea Party, and others say, wait a second, misdirected. And I think it is a little bit misdirected. I don't believe that it's a completely wackadoodle movement, and good for people who want to vent and show their frustration over what's happening, what they believe to be happening in the country. But I still say that the problem, if we want to talk about jobs, the economy, money, it's quantitative easing, the Federal Reserve. I mean, we could throw it in one big pot. You know when you make stew and you don't do the traditional stew, you just take whatever's in your refrigerator and you throw it in and you just make some kind of stew out of it? That's the deal with money issues that are ailing the United States. We're going to get to that in a second, but first let's talk about a couple of other things. One is related to money, all the money that we have burned through with these wars. Afghanistan, of course, now being 10-plus years on the heels of Iraq, which we're not done with by any stretch of the imagination. Iraq, and where do we end up with Afghanistan? Remember, the complete withdrawal and all that is supposed to happen by 2014. The president was asked that question in an interview on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. Quickly, here's what he had to say about Afghanistan.
We have done more in the last couple of years than any time in the last 10 years to bring that about. Obviously, the most prominent case was us getting bin Laden.
All right, bin Laden is going to be one of the things that's going to be touted on the scoreboard as Obama goes around the nation stumping for votes to get his second term, certainly. The other is going to be going on the attack with the Republicans, saying that when we're talking about money and things that ail us and problems, look to the Republicans because they refuse to cooperate. In other words, they refuse to pass my jobs bill. Leon Panetta is not so much worried about an overall jobs plan. He is worried about the budget and what will be sliced off when it comes to the military, because if the trigger automatically kicks in with the $1.2 trillion cuts, meaning the super committee doesn't do anything after Thanksgiving, and it's an automatic cut, the military will be one that gets severely slashed. Panetta, though, wasn't even jumping on that whole train. He's talking about peace and what happens if we abandon Israel, because you see what's going on, well, certainly what happened last week at the UN, with the Palestinians looking for statehood, and the argument continues over the West Bank. Panetta, I think, fears that Israel is getting jabbed too much. Take a listen.
Achieving long-term security for Israel is ultimately dependent on a sustainable, comprehensive Middle East peace.
But will we ever have peace in the Middle East? Not to be cynical, but I don't believe in my lifetime that we will see true peace in the Middle East. You're talking about too much history, and certainly the argument over land, and if you want to talk about Israel and you want to talk about the West Bank, you want to talk about the situation with some neighboring countries, we could talk about that for five shows and fill up every single minute of it. And we have had guests on and we have talked about the sustainable ability of peace in the Middle East. And so far, no one has been able to even come close, seriously, in all honesty, in having that happen. Panetta thinks that steps will be made and it can happen. In the meantime, bouncing back to the U.S., Herman Cain is tired of now talking about the Perry Ranch. And what happened was, in case you missed this story, one came out on in the Washington Post over the weekend about a lease, a deer lease, that the Perry family had gotten. Rick Perry's father, for 30 years, had gone to hunt on this deer lease. And for those of you who hunt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And there was apparently a very offensive term on one of the rocks, dropping the N-word, that, you know, that several witnesses say that had been there on the property for a long time. And what it said was niggerland. And, of course, that word automatically is sets off all kinds of alarm bells for so many people. And Perry's people, his campaign people and whatnot, shot back when that story broke and said that it's not true, and that what happened was, the second his father was out of that lease, immediately when they noticed that word on a rock toward the front of the ranch somewhere, they covered over it. They painted over it or whatnot. So you never know what's going to come around and who's going to call somebody and say, do you remember when this happened? And Perry's friends say they never saw that. So they're certainly going with the story that the father saw the rock, covered it up, and that was the end of it until it appeared in the Washington Post. Some night we're going to have a show on what politicians can't believe comes out of, suddenly comes out of nowhere, stories that they can't believe that they're having either to defend or explain or rehash or, you know, whatever it might be. Remember when Bush ran, when Bush Jr. ran, G.W. ran, one of the things that came up for him was his wife, Laura, and an accident where she hit somebody and killed them. It was a terrible, awful thing, and she was a teenager. I think I want to say she was 17 or 18, and obviously had a hard time with it. It's definitely an accident. And then that came out, and she was being asked that question a lot, and I think they were stunned by that. Like, why are we talking about this? There was no charge. There was nothing that happened here. It was just a terrible, awful thing. And then there was a slew of other things he had to defend with his personal behavior, whether it was coke, whether it was drinking or whatever. And this is what happens when you decide to run, especially now, especially in the last probably 15 years, maybe even before that, as technology started to really ramp up. Very, very easy to dig around and find things out, or things that were said, or half-truths, or total truths that were covered up. You know, it's kind of a mixed bag. And so this is what Perry now finds himself doing, his people anyway, trying to explain what the deal was with the deer lease. And here's what Jay Carney said.
The name is clearly offensive, and from what I've read, and I have no inside knowledge beyond what I've read, you know, the governor shares that opinion.
All right, so see, he did defend him. He said the governor shares that opinion. So bravo for him. He gets a little bit of a mark anyway for being honest about it, because that's exactly what they've said, that they have no idea, that he never saw that, and it wasn't there when he was there. I'm sure there are going to be other bombshells along the way that come out for probably all the people who are running for president. Stay with us. Coming up next, we're continuing to turn the page here on America Tonight.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ah, hail to the chief! It's one of those songs that makes your ego become even bigger, right? When you're the guy who's the leader of the free world. No, I'm just kidding. It just signifies, boom, bada bing, here's the president. There are a lot of people that would like to have that music trailing them into a room and out of a room. The guy who has it now is thinking or saying, maybe he's doing this on purpose to make sure voters get out for him. Shockingly, he said he's absolutely the underdog in the election, but he did say this, that he's confident he can win re-election. And that, again, is part of an ABC Washington Post poll that just came out, because it's a shocking number. 55% of Americans believe that Obama is going to be a one-termer, that he says he's the underdog. He's a one-termer. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie called him a bystander in the Oval Office. I love this one, a divider. And Obama was asked about that, and he decided he was going to take that bait, and he said, listen, this is a quote, if the guy's thinking of running for president, he's going to say a lot of stuff, and I think in Republican primaries, it's probably going to poll pretty well. I don't think the American people would dispute that at every step of the way, I have done everything I can to try to get the Republican Party to work with me on the biggest crisis of our lifetime. And each time, all we've gotten from them is no. So it's still the whole same thing, blame it on the Republicans. Do you think that's true? See, we have gridlock in Washington, and I say this all the time, and I've said it from the time I jumped on the air. I truly believe we need... certainly we need as many term limits as possible, but we need a third party. We need a third party. It is gridlock. That's what it is. It's part of the political machine. The political machine that is holding us back. But when there is confusion over how do you create jobs, you don't create jobs by giving all the jobs to everyone you can think of overseas and making it easy, a pathway. Oh, less taxes? Let's go to China. Hey, Brazil, you're looking good. Emerging economies. Not good. Some business, some trade, of course, but now just giving away these jobs. But that's an old story. Outsourcing, we know that. It's old. Something has to change. So if you had to vote in the next couple of weeks, no time for that so-called third party, really. You had to vote in the next couple of weeks. Who or whom would you vote for? My latest numbers show this, because many of you are starting to weigh in on it, and please continue to do that, because I want to see the numbers that we get, the graphs that we end up getting. Right now, Herman Cain is in the lead. He's getting a lot of pub lately all over the place. 17 votes for Cain. Ron Paul, though, a very close second, especially with what he has to say about our monetary woes, because he said them for a very long time. 16 for him. Rick Perry, the Tea Party darling, sort of, 10 points for him. Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, of course, Perry, the current governor of Texas, Romney gets 9 votes. And how about this? Michelle Bachmann suddenly jumped up. I got this one from Irv, who says, what do all of you have against a woman becoming president? Michelle Bachmann all the way. I don't care if she butchers history or not. Ooh. He might be confusing Sarah Palin a little bit, although Bachmann did get caught up in that, too. So 9 votes from this audience for her. And guess what? Nothing else for anybody else. Huntsman, John Huntsman is there. Newt Gingrich certainly also is still in the running. We'll see what happens if Governor Chris Christie jumps in. And there's a slew of other candidates who don't even show up in this. So when you hear Hail to the Chief, you know what we're talking about. Who would you put in there? I think it's interesting, but I think it's positioning from President Bush when he says he's the underdog. And you know why? I think it's a stroke of David Axelrod brilliance. This is the guy whose only objective is to get Obama to a second term. America loves an underdog. I confess, I love an underdog. In sports, in anything, we love those stories. So if he can portray himself as the beaten down current president, and hey, it's not my fault, look at these Republicans. I try to throw up a jobs bill. They just stop everything. They stop everything that we throw at them. We're trying to work together. And I think Americans realize I'm trying to do that. So there's a definite theme emerging. It's going to be pound the Republicans, say that I've tried, I've opened the doors of the White House, I'm begging for cooperation and bipartisanship between the two parties, because then we could get more done. And I'll tell you, I mean, this is pretty smart on his part. It is. Because of what I just said. Making people think that he's the underdog, so they have to go. If somebody would normally vote for Obama or is a lifelong Democrat, or maybe is an independent that kind of swings on the Democratic side of things, make them think this guy really needs the votes. Don't believe that it's a shoo-in, because usually the incumbent has an easier time. And, of course, now he's being aggressive and being very much on the offense in what he's doing when he's out there speaking and talking about what ails us, the economy. But is he really going to win over any fans who weren't in his corner no matter what? I mean, there's people flat out who will vote party on party no matter what happens. And I think the prime target for this president will be the House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, because Cantor does lob out some raw meat to him when he says things like what he needs to do is tell us exactly what he's for, is what the president is saying. What I think the American people can't abide by is doing nothing, because Cantor is always the blockade. And so that's what's going to happen. It's always going to be Cantor, the Republicans. So the bottom line is maybe America Tonight folks, the ones who have certainly expressed how they feel about who should be president, maybe you're right on track with the rest of the country because of where these votes are falling. And so far, nobody for Obama. I always say, if you're left of left, right of right, confused in between, just sick of it all, you're invited to this party. This is a conversation on the overnight highway, and you are not shut out of it. I don't care what your stripes are. The digits, 800-259-5791. 55% of Americans saying Obama is a one-term president. Wow. I'm surprised because I don't think he's an underdog. I don't. And I don't believe that he really believes that he's a one-term president. But if it's what the message is, right? So that's what the message is. You know, I could be a one-term president. Oh, it's not my fault. All right, I want to swing from politics for a second because this story was just too big to ignore. Amanda Knox, many of you also emailed me about this. You must be watching a lot of that NBC TV. I think they've covered this story the most. Of course, all the networks have covered it. You know, you have this pretty American girl who goes to Italy on an internship, falls in love with some Italian guy. Next thing you know, she's in jail for the murder of a British roommate. She left an Italian prison. Her murder conviction, after 4 years she's been in prison, her murder conviction was overturned. How about that? She leaves for the U.S., probably getting ready to right now, Tuesday. Lots of reaction to Amanda Knox. Take a listen.
It's hard to believe it. 4 years this has taken, 4 years of these two young people's lives. They were absolutely innocent on day one, day two, all the way through.
We were free to trust that right action happened, justice, right action.
Everybody who cares for justice and truth really has to be celebrating right now.
Yeah, so was justice served or not in the Amanda Knox case? If I were her, I would get out of there as soon as I could, and I don't know that I would ever go back again. Hey, coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to talk to Dr. John Fonte. He has a book out called Sovereignty or Submission, and this book is interesting because it talks about what's going on globally and what is the fate of the United States. Are we going to control our own fate or let somebody else control it for us? And Fonte, Dr. Fonte, is a United Nations and foreign policy expert. He's going to talk about what's going on with Israel and the licks Israel is taking from some of the media over the refusal to help the Palestinians with statehood, or is it the other way around? That's next on ATN.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at BestBloodSupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to BestBloodSupport.com. That's BestBloodSupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys, which have the capacity to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners who want to grow dirt cheap superfoods should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
America Tonight, so we've been talking a lot about what's going on with Israel and what's going on with the Palestinians. And, of course, as you know, Israel accepted the diplomatic quartet's offer to actually start this thing up, start these negotiations with the Palestinians. But the Palestinian Authority said no thank you. So now there's all kinds of controversy flying around, certainly in the halls of the United Nations, because, as you know, the Palestinians want statehood. So we feel pleased to welcome to the show John Fonte from the Hudson Institute. He's a United Nations and foreign policy expert. He also, by the way, has a new book out, too, in talking about all the stuff that we're talking about, Sovereignty or Submission. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate.
You know, just let's first tackle that issue. What do you make of that? I mean, what's wrong with what's happening here with Israel and the Palestinians, and how do you view this? What's your long view on all of this?
Well, what's wrong is basically the Palestinians have been offered a state three times, going back to the Camp David talks, and then again in 2002, and then again in 2008 with Omar. They were offered about 99% of what they want. They were offered all of the West Bank, Gaza, plus East Jerusalem, the Muslim parts of Jerusalem. So essentially, they were offered a state. They turned it down because they do not want to recognize a Jewish state, an Israeli state. So in other words, they could have their state as long as Israel too would exist. But that's been their refusal. So I mean, this has happened three times. There really isn't too much to negotiate at this point. Of course, there's the question of the two wings of the Palestinian Authority, Fatah with Abbas in, on the West Bank and Hamas in Gaza. But even when they were united, they had this offer basically a couple of times, and they've never accepted the right of Israel to exist. So that's at the core of the whole argument.
And you, as you said so well, the two factions, Fatah and Hamas, for people listening, because people that listen to America Tonight are trying to wrap their arms around this of, you know, we can't help but we're Americans. Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? What we've seen with sleeper cells and terrorism and things that are happening in the Middle East and whatnot, and trying to connect the dots. Tell us about both sides of that. Hamas, for example. What do you make of Hamas? In other words, you're schooled in this.
Groups, neither group is recognized Israel's right to exist. Hamas, you might say, is worse, if you want to call it that. They're supported directly by Iran, and they're even more extreme. They did essentially win when they had elections in the Gaza Strip. They won it, and they drove the Fatah officials out, and they're a little more fanatical, religiously, sort of an extreme Muslim group where, is Hamas. They say they are backed by Iran, where, Fatah is more secular. However, Fatah has also refused to recognize Israel's right to exist. So, that's the situation. One is, you know, a D minus and one is an F.
I like, I like the way you put that.
That's the difference. There are a few reasonable people in the Palestinian Authority, but not too many, and not the leadership in the West Bank, but not too many. I mean, but the issue is they basically do not recognize Israel's right to exist. So they would like a state, but they'd like the whole territory with no Jewish state. In fact, with Jews or Christians basically not living in the area. This is, essentially they see Israel as a Western enclave in the Muslim Middle East, just as the Crusaders, you might say, were a Western enclave when Richard the Lionhearted and the French king arrived in Jerusalem, captured Jerusalem and reinforced it, and then, went back in the Middle Ages. In the 11th, 12th, 13th century, there were the Christian Crusader kingdoms of in the Holy Land. And they were driven out, and this has been basically considered Muslim territory. So the Jewish state is considered essentially an enclave, like it doesn't belong there. And so they are trying to drive it into the sea, to drive it out. It's been there for since 1948. Now they figure the Crusaders lasted a couple hundred years, and they were driven out, and they haven't been back in 700 or 800 years. So they do look at the long view. And they have figured eventually they will drive Israel out, and there will not be a Jewish state in 100, 200, they think long range, 100, 200, 300 years from now. It'll be once again a Muslim land.
Yeah.
So that's really the bottom line on it, that willing to accept a Western enclave in that area.
So the president, of course, has been really pushing for peace between the two, and really Israel, I think, has bent over backwards to try to accommodate that at moments, right? So how does this, where does the president's ideals fall into place with all of this? Because now you have Leon Panetta, for example, saying, listen, we got to protect Israel at all costs. What are we doing here? All that kind of stuff. And so now you would have to say, with the president spending so much time on working with Israel, pushing Israel to try to do what he can to accommodate what they can to accommodate the Palestinians' cause. How does this blow back on the president with Israel?
Well, he's been basically wasting his time for a couple of years and barking up the wrong tree attempting to put pressure on them. Essentially, they've given, they've done just about everything they can do. But he wanted to, the president, I think, wanted to appeal to the Europeans and show he was making an effort. So there really isn't, it's been a failed policy. And we've had 2 or 3 years, and there's really nothing at this point he could do. And he might be forced into a veto of a Palestinian state if it ever comes to the Security Council. So that's embarrassing. This is something he was trying to avoid. When he first became president, he went to Cairo.
Right.
So we're going to reset relations with the Arab world, with the Muslim world, rather, and even said things like, Muslims were at the heart of America when it was founded, which is, simply not true. Doing all this to attempt to appease the Islamic world, and it, of course, it hasn't worked, because essentially they don't want a Western state or Westerners or Jews or Christians to be having a state in the Middle East. I go through some of this, the whole Gaza situation and the Goldstone Report and all those issues in my book, Sovereignty or Submission, and did want to mention probably the best place to get it is on Amazon. So, because I don't know if it's in every bookstore, but did want to point that out as well. But I think the president's policy has failed, and it's not going to work. I mean, they can talk to their blue in the face, but the situation is not going to be resolved this way.
See, do you think there's misconceptions out there that, hey, this is Israel? Israel it's their fault. They're freezing out the West Bank. Why are they doing this? Isn't it their fault that they're not getting back to the table? I mean, that's what you read, that Israel is stubborn and it's Israel's fault. I can't tell you how many times
correct.
I've read that in the New York Times.
That's right. And that's what many of the Europeans are saying. That's what the UN is saying. And the president has put the blame on Israel, in a sense, at least indirectly. And, of course, he snubbed the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu a little while back when Netanyahu was visiting Washington. And he's, the pressure has been on Israel instead of on the Palestinians. They could simply say, look, you got 99% of what you wanted. What's the matter with it? All you have to say is Israel is not going to be, we're not going to try to drive them to the sea. We're going to recognize Israel, the state of existence of the state of Israel as a Jewish state. And they refuse to do that, absolutely. And, of course, they can't have the right of return, which would mean all the Palestinians that left in 1948 would come back and essentially swamp the state. In that case, Israel would also cease to be to exist. So he's sort of in a cul-de-sac with no way of getting out. And with an election coming up now, he has changed his tune somewhat. So I don't think anything is going to be happening before, you know, this coming year. If he's reelected, he may try to start the process again and put pressure on Israel again. But he's not going to do it in the coming year.
Yeah. As John mentioned, the book is Sovereignty or Submission. I got to ask you about this one. Libya, what was the play in Libya? And now we see Muammar Gaddafi can't even find him.
Right. You can't find him. We don't know who was going to take over. And, well, the president said this is leading from behind, which, of course, that's not the way America usually leads. But he said, we're going to, you know, let the Europeans, the British and French do this, lead from behind, supply some planes, and with no clear plane. But the worst thing about Libyan adventure was going to the United States. He went to the Congress, explained what he wanted to do. He may have received some support. But he went to the Arab League before he went to the Congress of the United States. That's what has upset many congressmen. And that's, of course, not what the Constitution says. It's Congress has the right to declare war, and these type of policies will be decided by Congress, not by the Arab League. The last time I read the Constitution, the appealing to the Arab League or the United Nations was not in the Constitution of the United States.
I'm so glad you said that. You are absolutely right. And that's one of the things, and you talk about this in the book, about, I love the tagline, of course, will Americans rule themselves or be ruled by others? And that's the concern, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Ruled by the United Nations or the Arab League or somebody else. People that we did not elect and are not accountable to.
Yeah.
So the president has gotten it wrong on both Libya and in kind of the Middle East and Israel.
Yeah.
At least in who determines it and who sets American policy.
Yeah, I agree with that. John, we're out of time, but terrific stuff. Read the book, Sovereignty or Submission. It's everything that we talk about here on America Tonight. Can we have you back on the show again?
Sure. Love to come back.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you once again. Appreciate it.
It's sometimes nice to, on the other line, on the other end of the line, to hear some encouraging words. Now you don't set it up with the, do you get a job yet? Now you're kind of looking down. You sound condescending when you say that. But if you say it like this, and you approach it like a brother, hey, how's that job search coming along? Okay, and then they'll start to say, hey, it's been tough, and then you offer some more encouragement, or they'll start talking about it. But if you ignore it, then they might think you don't
so
care.
So for 6 months, you're going to ask this person every week, how's the job search going?
No, not every
After
week.
After a while, it's going to be like...
No, you don't do it every week. When you feel that you need to reach out, you know, you go with your gut. I think just when you're able to discern when... Sometimes things happen in your mind where you just say, I'm going to call my friend and see how he's doing. And then you just do it.
All right, let's talk about this. 877.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
This is a special alert from eFoods Direct. Silver just dumped to a two-year low, and right now the stock market crashes and recrashes daily. What does that mean to you? When stocks crash, companies fail, jobs are lost, and you can't buy the already too expensive food. eFoods just got notice that wholesale costs on pasta, rice, and beans will immediately jump 20%. The all-time high cost of sugar is tripling. Those who tried to buy silver for security just lost a big piece of the food their silver might have bought before it crashed. So what are you going to do? Get as much food as you can. With these problems you're facing, eFoods Direct has no choice but to extend the free shipping another week to October 9th. Free shipping to October 9th buys more food with shipping dollars. Call 800-409-5633, 24 hours. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
With me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between. Well, I went to school at Ohio University, and I'm telling you, got to be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, we would eat anything we could find. Of course, we had a thing about veggie burritos, because there was a guy that had this stand, a rolling stand, and we loved the veggie burrito, man. I don't know why. There was something in the sauce or whatever it was. Or we were just dying because we were coming from uptown. Not sure. But somebody I think who can relate to it in a different way is Sean Greenberg. And he is the subject of It's Your Business this week here on America Tonight. He's the owner of a chain of restaurants called Pluckers, although they don't treat them like chains. And this is the coolest thing. I love the name Pluckers. It's chicken wings. So I heard somebody told me, Sean, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Somebody told me that you and your buddy were dying for some chicken wings, and you thought you were going to school in Austin, you're going to the University of Texas, and you couldn't find good chicken wings anywhere. And that was what kind of led ultimately to you starting Pluckers. Is that right?
That's pretty much it. We, you know, my brother and my other partner and myself were at UT, and all throughout our college years, there's nothing to eat except pizza and Chinese food delivered late night to your dorms or otherwise. And when you had an inkling at 2 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't get anything but those two items. And my partner, David, actually was from Atlanta, and he he said, "Well, we have all these chicken wing places here. You know, let's try it." And so we all are from the Southeast, and we love good food. And so we started messing around with chicken wings and frying them up at, you know, fraternity functions and campus events. And as soon as we got out of college, we snagged a little old Mediterranean restaurant that had gone out of business and turned it into the first Pluckers.
Now, so, and you started that, what, in the 90s, right?
Yeah, that was in 1995, and originally we were originally just a takeout and delivery restaurant, but over the years it's progressed quite a bit.
Did it take off right away? I mean, did you just spread the word through all your buddies, to everybody you knew? Did you just tell everybody, try to come up with, you know, half off or a dollar off or whatever? I mean, how do you get your college friends to come in?
Sort of. We recruited quite a bit of people that we were friends with to help. You know, we had just gotten out of college, and in Austin, for, you know, parties and things, you build these structures that serve as bars and what have you. So we sort of recruited some of our friends, and everybody helped in the process of building out our restaurant because we could barely rub two nickels together. And yeah, we just, you know, we reached out to all the people we knew. Unfortunately, it took, I think, 22 minutes for us to make our first chicken sandwich. So there are a couple bumps along the way, but I'm proud to say the restaurant was profitable the first year. But, you know, I think 20-hour days and, you know, 120-hour work weeks probably contributed to that. But, we did whatever it took. A lot of just handing things out door to door and putting, you know, and really just going out and word of mouth. You know, we didn't have a marketing budget, so you just got out there. And over time, it progressed outside of just our friends and gradually started to catch on.
Yeah. And, you know, the name is so clever, Pluckers. Do you get the credit for that? Was it a wild brainstorming session? Because that's a great brand.
Yeah, that's another funny story. You know, if you were to ask, I think both my mother and my brother and I's partner, David's mother, would both claim that they were the ones who actually came up with the name Pluckers. We messed around with a lot of different names, Pluckers, Pluck You, Cluckers, there are a lot of different things. And we settled on Pluckers, and truth be told, we all sit around and we don't really know who is actually responsible for, you know, finalizing the name Pluckers or coining it. But if you were to ask, both of our parents would lay claim for it.
So you're kind of just winging it, so to speak, right?
We are. We are. I think our motto on the back of our menu says "On a Wing and a Prayer," and it tells the story about us. And really, you know, that the story is the truth. And you know, over time, we've built it up to be a lot more than a delivery. You know, the irony of it all is we don't even deliver it at any of our new restaurants. We everything we make is fresh from scratch, and we sometime along the way we realized that the product that we were putting out wasn't in line with sort of the perception that people had of delivered food and of chicken wings. And you know, we started this when wings really were not, as they in the restaurant business as they call, a center of the plate type of item. And really, I think we were part of the sort of movement that move wings into something that people get and view as a meal. And now, you know, the restaurants are large, and we've integrated sort of a sports bar element into it. But really, at the end of the day, it's our food, and our food is what sort of propelled us early on. If it was good, it had to be really good to taste good delivered. And so, you know, it was twice as good when you came in. And over time, we realized, well, you know, enough of this delivery stuff. Let's keep it in the restaurant, and over time expanded the restaurants and added waiters and waitresses. And today it's a full service sit down restaurant.
How many restaurants, you know, you grew from this idea, and you explained all of that to us. And now, as you said, the sports bar bigger, everything certainly still goes back to the emphasis on the food because you want people to come in for the food, but you've been able to grow up around it. How many restaurants do you have now, and what are you hoping, you know, what's your ultimate business goal, I guess?
Well, this past week we opened our 13th restaurant in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the original restaurant, to give you some scale, started at 1,300 square feet in size, and today
Our restaurants are typically somewhere between 6,500 and 8,000 square feet in size, and that doesn't include their outdoor spaces. So it has grown quite a bit. As far as long-term growth, I think, you know, for us, we sit down and we talk about this a lot. We are very focused on not becoming. My brother and I are from New Orleans. My partner's a bit of a foodie. We like good food, and we're really focused on not turning in to what we view chains to be, where you go and you get, you know, really just, you know, sort of bland food and a bland atmosphere, you know, with bland service and everything else. And so instead of going towards 13 elements of flair or anything like that, we've tried to just organically grow it. And our goals are just to open, you know, 3 or 4 restaurants a year and do what's comfortable to us. And, you know, as long as we're still enjoying what we're doing, I think, you know, we have no plans to really take over the nation or try and, you know, ramp up and open 500 of these or compete with Buffalo Wild Wings or anything like that. Our goal is to just grow really, you know, good restaurants and have it be something that in every community that we're in, people that their friends come in town or what have you, they say, hey, I want to take you to my favorite place in town, and that's Pluckers. And, you know, really, if we can stay in that little segment, that means we're doing our job.
Yeah, there you go. When you first went to UT, I mean, here you are at a big college. People around America listening, not just in Texas, certainly know the University of Texas. They've heard of it, heard of the athletic programs for sure, and some of the others. Exactly. Yeah, imagine that. But what was your goal? What was your academic goal, or I guess what did you want to be when you grew up, when you went into school?
Well, I went to school. I was a finance major in the business school, and my two partners, my brother and brother Barbara, were advertising majors. I actually continued and got my law degree amidst sort of all this foolishness. But I think we all always knew we're not real good at working for people and never really understood sort of the confines of, you know, the way sort of school, especially large school, the way you get trained to sort of go start a job. And, you know, we were doers and we've always been doers. And so, you know, I think the truth of the matter is we were too young and stupid and naive to know any better. We just went out and did it. And here we are today. I don't know that, you know, we thought that far ahead, to be honest with you. It just seemed right at the time.
What would you tell people who, because now we're, really, this is a time to start a business for a lot of would-be entrepreneurs. And you said it, you didn't want to work for anybody else. You knew you weren't really those guys. What would you tell somebody who was kind of afraid to step out? What would you tell them to do? Because you took that leap. How would you tell them to do it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you just can't be afraid. I think fear prevents people from doing a lot of things, and I think it prevents a lot of really great businesses from happening. I think if you're you know, as long as you're passionate about something and you're willing to put in the work, because Lord knows there's going to be a lot of it, I say, you know, you just got to be willing to go for it and throw caution to the wind. And 9 times out of 10, I think that'll work out well. But, you know, I do think there is that element of drive. You know, the three of us are exceedingly competitive individuals, and, you know, you have to want to win. And if you're sitting there and you're upset about what you're seeing in something you're doing, or you're watching something and you're saying, hey, it could be done better, go out and do it. Don't talk about it, you know. Go out and do it, and if you jump into it, you know, 9 times out of 10, you'll figure it out because you'll be forced to.
Yeah, I so agree with you. Well, continued success, Pluckers. Awesome chicken wings, by the way. I had some last week. Sean Greenberg, one of the owners of Pluckers. Love the story. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.